But you know, two characters in the Bible that I've always really, really, really liked are King David and or David. I think about him being the shepherd boy. First of all, the sweet songwriter of Israel, the one who was courageous, the one who was fearless when he was growing up, and the one who was least likely, least expected, least thought of, that would be the anointed one to be the king of the nation of Israel. But another person that I love, not only about David, because you see in David's life incredible emotion. You see in David's life experiences that run the gamut of people's lives every day. You see that he was a father, but even being a father, he had many problems in his household with his kids. And the thing I love about the life of David is nothing is glossed over about his life. I mean, it's all out there in the open. And then another character that I love in the New Testament is Peter, because Peter was always sticking his foot in his mouth. And I just think that those two in particular, excluding, of course, Jesus, we certainly know that Jesus is the one we would all pick first. But when you're looking beyond Jesus at characters, you would just see, and in each one of those, we would identify why we identified with them or liked them or why they spoke to our heart. When you come to tonight's lesson, Praying Under Pressure, as Ken was leading us a few moments ago in that song, I love that song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. There's just something about that song when you hear that you realize that how caught up in the world that you and I get caught up in. We get caught up in a culture. We get caught up in our jobs. We get caught up in the busyness of life. And there's just something about that song that just has a soothing effect. It just brings peace to your mind. And to realize, Sweet Hour of Prayer, that calls me from this world of care. You know, whether you're looking at Peter, or whether you're looking at King David, or whether you're looking at Moses or Jonah or Elijah or any of them, let me tell you, they were all human. They all had human experiences. They all bled red if they were cut. They all had their problems. They all had their issues that they dealt with. I think for tonight, when we look at this particular passage tonight, the psalm that we're going to look at in a few moments, the 142nd psalm, and of course, I think then that was probably followed by the 57th psalm that David wrote. But in the scripture, in 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1 and 2, I believe is where this psalm would fall, because it said, David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And then notice that everyone who was in distress, notice these three D words, and everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to David. So David became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. Now, when you go to chapter 23 of the book of 1 Samuel, you'll find out there were two more hundred that came on down with David. Tonight, let me ask you a question. Are you a cave dweller? Are you a cave dweller? You see, David, there are a lot of people that think that just because you are a minister, or because you are a Christian, that you should never be depressed. Well, go through the Bible. Those that haven't read the Bible haven't seen much about depression that's listed there, because David falls in and out of his times of depression. And so I'm not surprised whenever you look at his life and you realize that once again he's running from Saul. In fact, some 8 of the Psalms that he wrote, he was running from Saul. Saul was after him. Saul hated him. Saul was incessantly jealous of him. Saul did everything in the world to make his life miserable. And so David was on the run. David goes down to a cave. He becomes a cave dweller. It's there he expresses how that he feels. And that's what I want us to look at. I want us to look at the description of David's discouragement. You ever been discouraged? You ever felt deserted? You ever felt alone? Have you ever been depressed or distressed? Well, that's certainly where David is in this. He's hiding in a cave. He's running for his life. And in verse number 1 of the 142nd Psalms, let's look at how David felt. He feels disoriented. First of all, on your outline, he feels disoriented. He said, I cry out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord, I make my supplication. Now, you and I can make supplications for other people. We all the time have people that text us and say, would you please remember me? Please pray for me. I'm going through this issue or I'm struggling through this. Please pray for me. That's making a supplication for someone else. David here makes a supplication for himself. And I want you to notice that he says here, he said, I cry out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord, I make my supplication. You see, he is so overwhelmed. And in that Hebrew phrase, it literally means in the muffling of my spirit. Any of you ever had your spirit muffled? Any of you ever come to church and your spirit was just overwhelmed? Your spirit was muffled and you were doing your best to worship. Maybe you were doing your best to listen. Maybe you were doing your best to sing. Maybe you were doing your best to teach. Maybe you were doing your best to preach. Maybe you were doing your best to greet someone out there in the foyer of the church. And you just, your spirit was so overwhelmed with what you were going through that there was a muffling of your spirit. And so David here, he's in this cave. Get the picture. That cave at Adullam was some 40 feet wide and the mouth of it was some 20 feet tall. This was a huge cavernous area. In fact, David would find himself in two different caves at times, the one of Adullam here and the other one at Engedi. And that was where he, remember, cut off the skirt of Saul's robe when he could have killed Saul, and he didn't. That was in the cave of Engedi. But here we see him in Adullam, and he feels totally disoriented. I mean, he's very distressed. Well, wouldn't you be distressed if 200 people gathered around you, and they were the debtors, they were the discontented, and they were the distressed? I mean, David went there for a little safety and solitude. But in the midst of his safety and solitude, his family had come. They'd gathered around him. 400 men came. They gathered around him. And then 200 more came, and they gathered around him. And these were the ones that were the distressed and the disorientated and the discontented. And the Bible says that David had to take care of them. And so we find him, he feels disoriented. He feels overwhelmed. Sometimes aren't you overwhelmed with life? Sometimes aren't you just overwhelmed with what's taking place, with what's going on in your world, and your world begins to just whirl around you, and you just feel all of the pressures. And so when we see that, he says, I cry out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord, I made my supplication. Number 2, he says, I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. And then in verse 3, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, you see there in the muffling of his spirit, then you knew my path in the way in which I walk. They have secretly set a snare for me. David says, even in the midst of all of this, Lord, you know me. You know all about me. You know where I am. God knows where you are tonight. God knows where we are in our deepest pain. God knows where we are in our deepest moments of grief and sorrow and loneliness and depression and whatever else it is out there that is haunting us. And he was slowly but surely, he's spiritually upright, but he is spiritually deteriorated. Sometimes don't you just feel that you are bankrupt spiritually? I think it goes back to the song we sang a few moments ago, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Sweet Hour of Prayer. You see, David went to the cave of Adullam. He went there to be alone with God. He went there in his disorientation. He went there in his overwhelmingness. He goes there to cry out. He goes there to make supplication before the Lord. He's so overwhelmed with what's going on. Saul is against him. Saul is chasing him. Saul's men are after him. David goes to be a cave dweller in his state of depression and despondency and distress. And that song says, in seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief. But you see, he's there, and there's 600 people around him. Kind of hard to reflect on yourself, isn't it? When the discontented are there, and the debtors are there, and the distressed are there, and yet David, in the midst of all this, he has to reach out to care for them. So he feels disoriented. On your outline, he also, under Roman numeral 1, he feels deserted. Look in verse 4. Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. In the New Testament, I think the saddest words are, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. I think some of the saddest words in the Old Testament are what David penned, when no one cares for my soul. David said, look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. I mean, he's there in the midst of a crowd. There's a crowd of people. I mean, my goodness, there's 600 people that have come into the cave with him. David's in a crowd, but he's lonely. Have you ever been in a crowd and you're lonely? Have you ever been where there people are? David looked around. He looked at the people that were there. But David still felt all alone. And notice he says, no one cares. No one cares for my soul. Do you know how many people there are tonight all over the world that feel the exact same way that he feels? Some of them are in a crowd. Some of them sit idly by in a nursing home. Some sit in their homes, isolated from the rest of the world to some degree. Maybe they have no kids, or maybe their kids don't really check on them like they should check on them. And so David looks around in all of his despair. 600 people are there, but David says, no one cares for my soul. You know the song, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. Can you only imagine David, the anointed shepherd boy, the one who played his harp, the one who consoled Saul when Saul went into his fits of depression and anger, and David would come and play for him, and the music soothed Saul for those moments. Can you only imagine the one that stood before Goliath that day and killed Goliath and called him down when Saul was scared to death of Goliath and the Israeli army sat back and a shepherd boy came courageously? I mean, after all, David, he had killed a lion and a bear out there that wanted to kill his sheep. God gave him the strength and the power to do that. And so David was fearless in that moment when he stood before Goliath. Let me tell you, there's a lot of people tonight that have a Goliath in front of them. Maybe tonight you have a Goliath out there. Something in your life that is just absolutely so monumental. It is so huge that it has disoriented you. It has overwhelmed you. It has muffled your spirit within you. Let me tell you, tonight, all over the world, people will have muffled spirits. They will have a Goliath in their life. It may be a health issue. It may be a terminal diagnosis. It may be a financial issue. It may be a problem with drugs, being addicted to opioids. It may be a marital situation in their life. It may deal with relationships with others. It may deal with a job situation out there, and you're overwhelmed with what you've got to do. And you're overwhelmed with the things that come against you, even though you're in a crowd of people around you. Yet you feel like in those moments that you've been deserted. In fact, in the 16th Psalm, verse 8, David said, I've set the Lord always before me. I shall not be moved. Let me tell you, on this particular occasion, he looked around and said, there's no one that cares for my soul. The one that would take the place of Saul, the one that would become the king of the greatest nation on earth, the one who had a heart for God. Ella Wheeler Wilcox, the poet, she said this, laugh and the world will laugh with you. Weep and you weep alone. I want you to think about that. Isn't that true? Laugh and the world laughs with you. Sunday night, the preacher was the dork, and you guys just laughed. Let me tell you, laugh and the world will laugh with you. But let me tell you, when you're weeping, sometimes you weep alone, don't you? It's where David was in his life. But I want you to know a third thing he felt. He feels depressed, not only disoriented, deserted, but he feels depressed. Notice, if you will, in verse 5, once again, I want to look at this. I cried out to you, O Lord. When David was penning these psalms, David would write down things. He would write out his prayers. Let me ask you a question. Do you journal? Any of you in here journalers? Wow, we've all followed the same course but one, Karen. Okay, a couple of you. If I had my life to do all over again, one of the things I would do, I would journal every day. Now, I'd burn it before I died if I knew when I was going to die, because I wouldn't want everybody else to read my journal. But, you know, psychiatrists say, and I don't put all my stock in psychiatrists, and I certainly don't do sermons from Psychology Today, but every now and then they do have some good points to make. One of the psychiatrists said that when people journal, when they write down things, and that it helps them to get a better focus and a better perspective, and it helps them to get a clearer understanding of where they are, that it cuts down on blood pressure issues, it cuts down on cardiovascular stresses to the vascular system. And, you know, David, many years ago, as he would pen these things, he would pen his prayers, he would pen these psalms that people would sing. That was something that just gave him some incredible relief. In verse 5, I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge. What is a refuge? It's a place to hide. It's a place of shelter. It's a place of safety. It's a place of security in it. My portion, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Let me tell you, he's depressed. He feels that he's been brought very low. There's this indentation in his life. And he just feels all of these things that have come against him in life. I love David because David helps you and I to see that we're not alone in the world and what we go through. Down there in verse 6, we see he feels defeated. He feels defeated. Attend to my cry, for I am brought, notice, very low. Let me tell you, he was at his lowest ebb in life. Things were not flowing like they needed to flow for David at this point. Hiding in a cave, trying to get away from Saul, trying to kill him. 600 people are there. They are the ones that themselves are in the same straits that David is in. And David's trying to care for them in the midst of all of this that's going on in his life. And he said, for they are, deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. In other words, it would be as if David took a piece of paper and divided it down the center, and on one side he put the positives of his life and what was happening, and on the other side he put the negatives of his life. And whenever he looked at it in his condition, the negatives outweighed the positives of his life. And he said, I'm brought very low. Is one of the lowest points in his life. He had a lot of low points in his life. He would have low points with his family. He'd have low points in the death of his children. He would have low points when his kingdom would be come against by one of his sons or more than one of his sons. When his daughter would be raped by her half-brother, David would have the low points. David would go through the time of his adulterous affair with Bathsheba. He would go through that situation where he had her husband put on the forefront of the battle so he would be killed in order to cover up the sin of David. When you and I look at David's life, it's really quite interesting to me that here's a man after God's own heart. Here is an anointed king, anointed by the prophet Samuel. He would wait some 16 years from those junior years of his anointing. It would be some 16 years before he would ever really become the king of the nation of Israel, even though he's the king in waiting, even though he is the anointed king. And when you look at his life and you see all the struggles that he went through and realize that he committed adultery, he basically committed murder, he had already violated two of those 10 commandments. And yet, the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. Kind of hard to understand sometimes, isn't it? He loved God, but he was so human that he let his flesh override the spirit of Almighty God in his life. And people are doing that tonight, everywhere. People who sit in churches every Sunday morning let the flesh override their spirit. And many of them find themselves in the same situation. David had consigned himself to a place of defeat, and so he has just absolutely regressed. But I want you to notice, secondly, in the psalm for tonight, on Roman numeral number 2, let's look how he defeated his discouragement. First of all, in verse 1 and verse 2 again, I cried out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord I made supplication. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. What did he say there? What is he saying? Sometimes we read words, and any of y'all ever read something and then you go, what did I just read? Any of us become so preoccupied, we have to go back and we read it. And the second time we read it, our mind was still out there somewhere, and we thought, what did I just read? Sometimes we go back and we read it 5 or 6 times, don't we? Before we ever see and we get the message. What does he do in order to attack his discouragement and his distress and his depression? He verbalized his problems to God. Now, when you're going through a problem, let me tell you, you need to get along with God. No wonder the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Be still. I love that song, Be Still My Soul. Let me tell you, be still and know that I am God. And so he verbalizes his problems to God. Let me tell you, when you journal or when you log or when you write out the things that you're going through, according to psychiatrists, as I mentioned earlier, they say that it helps you tremendously with the stresses upon your life. Let me ask you a question tonight. If you have a real problem and you've got somebody that you verbalize that to, doesn't it make you feel better? I mean, doesn't just getting it off of your chest, so to speak, kind of reduce the incredible stress that you feel? Doesn't it sort of make the mountain not so tall sometimes to climb? You see, he verbalized his problems, but notice to whom he verbalized them. First and foremost, you and I ought to always verbalize our problems to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is the answer. Jesus is the answer for the world today, the song says. Another one says Jesus is still the answer. Though time and ages roll, Jesus is still the answer. He's the answer for man's soul. And though some may say he doesn't fit with their philosophy, I know Jesus is the answer. He's always been and always will be. I was sharing with the staff today as they had a birthday lunch for me, and we were talking, that in a report that I read this past week, that today among adults, 66% of adults do not believe in a absolute truth. And I believe it was 93% of young people do not believe in absolute truth. That's scary. That's frightening. That's where our world is going. 50 years ago, those statistics would have been absolutely on absolute truth. They would have been way up there. But in 2019, I read an article, we are living in post-truth times, that is counter to the culture in which we live in today. And the article said, so how then as a Christian are you going to live your life if people look at truth? We look at the Bible and call this the standard of truth. Then if people do not believe that and accept that, how are you going to get them to believe in what you believe? The article said you do it by living a life of integrity, living a life that would ask them the question, what is it different in this person's life that I don't have and that I need? So you and I are living in a post-truth era of time when you and I know, we believe, we accept by faith the Bible is the inspired, the inerrant truth of Almighty God. The way we're going to be able to point people to Christ, for the most part, going to be through the way we live. Another article that I read spoke about how that we come to church, we hear the sermons, we sing the songs, but yet a large percentage, and I forget what that statistic is, but a large percentage say really going to church really doesn't change much about my life. That's sad, isn't it? Really, really sad. The devil's there. Verbalize your problems to God. He's the one that knows all about you. Tell it to Jesus, as the song says. He is a friend that's well known. And then notice, secondly, on your outline, Roman numeral number 2, the second thing, not only did David defeat his discouragement in this situation in the cave of Adullam, by verbalizing his problems to God, he visualized his problems before God. Let me tell you, do you ever visualize what's taking place in your life? Do you look at your life and not only do you come and you pour out your problems to God, but let me tell you, we must come to him in an attitude of praise and worship. Do you visualize as you're talking to God? the infinite almighty of the universe. And he is so big. Scientists said the other day they found worlds out there that they had no clue ever existed. And there are worlds out there that they will never know that exist. Because he is the awesome, infinite, almighty, creator of heaven and earth, ruler of all, who rules in the affairs of men when they know not what is taking place. The one who raises up kings and sets them down. As the Bible proverb says, like water, wheresoever. That God, do you visualize you, small little you and me, just a dot in the ocean, and yet God knows you by name. God loves you. God cares for you. You're never alone if you know him personally, because he's always with you. He was with David in the cave. He was never more present during this time. David verbalized his problem. He visualized his problem with praise. But thirdly, he recognized his presence before God. God knew right where David was all the time. Have you ever prayed and don't raise your hand? I've done it 1,000 times, okay? Have you ever prayed, oh God, where are you? God, where are you? Just when I need him most. Where are you, God? I know you're there. I know that somewhere in the shadows you're there. But God, I just can't feel you right now. You see, you and I can't go on feelings. Because feelings will disappoint you. You have to go on promises. And he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I am a present help in time of trouble. God knew right where David was. And then notice something else on your outline there. David realized. He realized that his provision was in God and God alone. We see that in verse 5 once again. We see that in verse 5, David says, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. As David reviewed the situation, as he verbalized the psalm, as he has looked over his journal, as he's written his prayers, and he remembers that God is the Almighty One. And so he begins to rejoice. He begins to rejoice. Brent's two little girls singing the song a few moments ago. Let me tell you, oh, to grace, how great a debtor I'm constrained to be. Let me tell you, he realized that his provision is in God and God alone. And then lastly, in verse number 7 for tonight, he says, bring my soul out of prison that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. Let me tell you, he went from all of those things to praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. In fact, in the 57th Psalm, he would say, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. Let me tell you, you and I can pray our way through whatever we're going through, because God is the God of all comfort. Sue played a few moments ago. In times like these, I have a Savior. In times like these, I have a Bible. In times like these, I have an anchor. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Amen. God bless you. Would you stand as we pray together tonight? Sue, if you want to come and play through a verse.